Good morning. I'm Elliot Nagin. I'm the media director at the Union of Concerned Scientists, and thanks for joining our call this morning. The Union of Concerned Scientists is an independent science-based advocacy group that has been watchdogging the nuclear power industry for 40 years. We are not for or against nuclear power. Our goal always has been to ensure that the industry operates in the safest manner possible. We plan to host these telebressers daily at 11 a.m., and we will confirm that every morning with an advisory that we will email you. We have been overwhelmed with requests over the last few days for interviews, and unfortunately, we don't have the capacity to honor all requests. If you have follow-up questions after this telepresser, please email us at media@ucsusa.org. That's media@ucsusa.org. And we will respond to your questions as soon as it's possible. We will also post MP3 tapes of this press conference as well as an edited transcript on our homepage as soon as we can. Now, this morning we will hear from three of our nuclear experts, and then we will open the phones to your questions. Our first speaker is David Lochbaum, the director of our nuclear safety program. Dave is a nuclear engineer, and he has worked at U.S. nuclear plants for 17 years. Three of those plants were similar to the General Electric plants in Japan. He also has trained nuclear industry staff to manage reactors for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Our second speaker is Dr. Edwin Lyman, who is a physicist with the UCS Global Security Program. Edwin is an expert on nuclear plant design and the environmental and health effects of radiation. Finally, our third speaker is Ellen Vanko, our Nuclear Energy and Climate Change Project Manager. Before coming to UCS, Ellen worked for the electric utility industry for more than 25 years. Now I give you David Lochbaum.
Thank you, Elliot. Good morning. The conditions in Japan were bad yesterday and seem to have gotten worse since then. Since yesterday's telepresser, there have been accounts of a containment breach on the Unit 2 reactor. There was reports of an explosion and reports that the containment vessel had been breached. The indications of the breach were that the pressure inside containment could no longer be maintained. The pressure was decaying, which is indicative of that material going somewhere, most likely through a breach. The reports indicated that the breach or the containment problem was in the pressure suppression chamber area. It's also called the torus. In that type of reactor design, the primary containment features what looks like an inverted light bulb called a dry well, which kind of sits within a large torus called the pressure suppression chamber. Collectively, they form the primary containment that surrounds the reactor vessel housing the nuclear fuel. There are also reports of fuel damage, and if so, collectively, the fuel damage, which has released radioactive material in the primary containment, coupled with the primary containment breach, provides a pathway for radioactivity to reach the environment. In addition, there have been reports over the last day that the spent fuel pool temperatures in units 4, 5, and 6 are rising. Those reactors were not running at the time of the earthquake, but their spent fuel pools had irradiated fuel in them. The spent fuel pools are located outside primary containment, but within a secondary structure called secondary containment. These fuel assemblies are in large concrete swimming pools where water must be circulated to remove the heat that they continue to generate. There are accounts that they're having difficulties cooling those three spent fuel pools, and they need to regain control of that, or as a minimum need to be able to replace the water that may be evaporating or boiling away to prevent the water from dropping below the level of irradiated fuel in the bottom of those spent fuel pools to prevent their damage from overheating as well. There was a list of challenges facing workers yesterday. That list only seems to have grown larger since then. Thank you, Alan.
Our next speaker is Dr. Edwin Lyman.
I'd like to comment briefly about the impacts or of the dose rates that have been seen outside of the plant and downwind. Last night it was reported that a dose rate of as high as 40 rem per hour was observed near the Unit 3. Now, to put that into perspective, acute radiation syndrome effects would probably show up after about 100 rem of absorption, which would mean about 2.5 hours at that particular rate. That's the highest rate that's been seen. That was temporary. That has gone down, but the levels are still on the order of tens of thousands of times background near the site boundary. It's also been reported that elevated radiation levels have been detected as far away as Tokyo, over 100 miles away from the site, and not exactly in the direction of the primary prevailing winds. And there are continued reports of exposure to U.S. military personnel offshore. These are troubling developments, but they're not unexpected, but they do demonstrate the mobility of the fission products that are being released from the site and their ability to travel large distances downwind as we had previously anticipated. And should there be further degradation of core melt and breach of reactor vessel at any of the affected units, or a large-scale spent fuel pool fire in one of those affected units, you can see that the dose rates, which are already high, elevated in Tokyo, might even be considerably greater. I would estimate far less than 1% of the radioactive inventory at the site has actually been released to the atmosphere, and we could expect an increase in a factor of 10 or more should there be a core melt and a containment breach. One other comment I'd like to make is the impact of radiation on workers. I believe that most non-essential workers were sent away from the site. I'm very concerned that the ongoing activities may become more and more challenging if radiation levels continue to increase for the workers who are engaged in manual actions at the site. And I don't know if there had to be an evacuation of all workers, if the jerry-rig cooling that they now have could be maintained. Perhaps Dave has a comment on that. But this highlights an important issue with generic implications. For instance, in the United States, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has not required existing reactors to implement measures against aircraft attack like we saw on September 11th. What they have asked required utilities to do is develop plans to deal with the aftermath of that accident, and that's considered sufficient to deal with the potential terrorist threat from aircraft. I think we need to reevaluate the realism of those plans in light of what we're seeing here, because they involve the reliance on heroic actions on the part of workers and possibly life or death decisions to protect larger scale releases that may simply not be realistic given what we're seeing. So I would urge the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to learn that lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Our next speaker is Ellen Vanko.
Good morning, and thank you, Elliot. I don't have anything to add to what Dave or Ed just said regarding safety and security. Again, we've heard a lot of people continue to make declarations one way or another about the nuclear renaissance in the United States. Again, I believe it's entirely premature to make those kinds of predictions. Again, we've got to focus on the existing plants that are operating today. We still have to make sure that we thoroughly assess the safety and security requirements that apply to them now, ensure that they're adequate, ensure that they're being enforced, and ensure that we develop any new ones that we determine we don't have in place that could prevent this from happening here. We continue to focus and learn from the situation in Japan. I'm sure the nuclear industry is doing the same thing in this country, and there's going to be a lot of lessons learned that we're going to have to take from this. We just don't know what they all are yet. Thank you, Elliot.